If you need a new roof or a repair, Easton Roofing will take care of you. Estimates are always free and suggestions are built on integrity. Visit EastonRoofing.com for more information. Get back to business faster with Easton Roofing. Easton Roofing. Integrity matters.
The Border Patrol is presented by Walker Medical Linen Services, locally owned and operated, and HLAC certified, meeting the highest industry standards. Walker has partnerships with hospitals, surgery centers, and medical clinics in and around the metro area. Walker Medical Linen Services in Kansas City and online at walkermls.com.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol Sports Radio 810 WHB. All right, let's see. I want guesses. I've been too hard on Marco, haven't I?
Yep.
But I'm trying to get him to figure out. He mentioned algorithm.
Yep.
His Twitter algorithm doesn't display baseball highlights for him, so I'm trying to figure out our algorithm because this is the art of being a producer. When you see something. And then you think, oh, Nate's going to want to talk about that. Or, oh, Steven's going to want to talk about that, right? What story broke yesterday that as soon as I saw it, I said, oh, I can't wait to talk to Stan about this one? Pretty big story.
Is this about a quarterback committing to Texas?
Yes.
Oh.
What were you going to say?
Sorry. I was thinking of the ESPN article Jesse Newell was reading yesterday.
Right. And don't mind that Nate refused to let you answer the question. That's all right.
Well, I won. That was a competition, right, was and gonna, I just no, kicked was, your ass,
was,
Marco.
But I was trying to. So, Marco, what did you think it was going to be?
I thought it was going to be the article about if Lance Leipold can turn around KU football the same way Bill Snyder could.
Oh, that's a pretty good one. Pretty good one. But no, when I saw Arch Manning going to Texas, because this is so we've heard about this forever. I feel like his recruitment has lasted 6 years, right? And he's still not in college yet. And I have been really interested to see where he goes. Georgia, Alabama, LSU, Clemson, Virginia. He could go wherever.
Not Mississippi or Tennessee in that list, though.
Right.
But worth noting,
he goes to Texas, and I like when Texas isn't good and underachieves. I think we all do. We're on the same page here, right? We're not looking for Texas to do well, nope. But I find this fascinating because the Manning family is going to be all up in that program, and they do have a certain Midas touch. To where if they get involved in something, it's going to be successful, right? And so the way I was looking at this, like they just didn't get Arch Manning. You're going to have Peyton Manning and Eli Manning and Archie Manning. You're going to have the whole Manning clan.
And neither of those three are his dad.
Right, so right. But they're all going to be now heavily invested, involved in the Texas football program. And so, I've never really...
You might be able to teach Texas how to win in football.
Well, that's what... hey, I've never really saw like a coach or something like, oh, wow, Texas is back now. Or I thought this could really... this could be big for Texas football. But now I saw this, I go, ooh. Because I do think, even though I've... Peyton Manning was one of my least favorite football players, not because he wasn't great, because he crushed my heart in his hands so many times as a Chiefs fan. But when I saw this, I'm thinking, I'm not even talking about how good of a prospect Arch Manning is. We could talk about that in a separate conversation, but, they breed success. They touch something and it's successful, right? And so if there's anything that's ever going to turn, and you say that kiddingly, but if anything, they're going to get Texas on the right, Manning's, hey.
I actually, I was being very serious when
right?
I said that.
Because I
think that part of what's, I think that Texas is a much tougher coaching job than a lot of people think it is. Because I think they look at it and say, well, you got all the money in the world, and you got all the prospects you could possibly want in your own state. How could you not win there? because you got to deal with all these egotistical big money guys that get distracted by all these things that aren't as important as they think they are, and competing interests and other things like that that you have to try to manage. And I don't know, maybe the egos at Texas are so big that they won't even listen to the Mannings, but they might actually listen to the Mannings, you know?
Is that crazy to think that, like, okay, now they got the Mannings involved, this could be, like, even bigger than it seems on the surface for Texas?
Well yes, I'm running down the same path you guys are, absolutely. First of all, Mack Brown is not just another coach who rolled through Texas and it's easy to win.
Right.
Think about what they've done since he's left. And think about what he's done at North Carolina since he's left. And he sat out a little while and came back, and he's an older guy. He won at North Carolina earlier in his career. He was special to make Texas great at the right time. When we knew them, I don't think we followed them that closely in the Southwest Conference. You guys probably didn't watch a lot of Daryl Royal games. He won a national championship in 1970 or something right around there. So Texas football's had its moments. It's never been awful, but they don't just dominate and get first place every year easily, okay? Like we talk about the NBA draft last night, Kansas wins the conference almost every year in basketball. That level of success is what people attribute to Texas, but it just doesn't happen.
So Oklahoma, if anybody in this conference.
Right, so they're rival, right? Yeah. I mean, no matter what conference they're in, those two have been playing down there at the State Fair in Texas. In the second week of October. I mean, it's a big, big deal. And right now, Oklahoma's the one who is actually winning the championships. Is Steve Sarkisian a dominant coach? In my opinion, no. He may be fine, but it's not going to be easy. They had a losing record last year. Texas was 5-7, I believe. So
they lost to Kansas.
Yeah. So, you know, Texas does not know how to win just because they have big donors, big stadiums, big NIL opportunities for these players, all these things. It is hard to win, and now we look at this team, and they are not right on the cusp of being a national champion. They've got to get back to being a top team in the conference, going to bowl games and big bowl games and winning. So there's a long ways for them to go. Yet, yesterday, when I sat down for lunch, what did I see on the television? When I looked up in the restaurant, Arch Manning has decided to go to Texas. And you know what immediately I started doing? I started counting in my head where he is in school and where Texas is in leaving the Big 12. Because I go, I think he has to play his senior year next year, right, at Newman High School in New Orleans. And then the next year he's going to be a freshman. And the second year of his eligibility, or his second year at the University of Texas, they'll be in the SEC, correct? I think I've got that sequence out well. No, maybe he 2 years. So Texas is going to be around for 3 more years in the Big 12. Uh-oh. I was saying they're going to win. So your conclusion, they're going to win. This dude will change everything, in my opinion. And I'm not big on signing up on what recruiting and saying I know what's going to happen after they sign and leave their parents and all that kind of stuff. But in this example, I've seen Arch Manning play, and the breeding, the mentality, the teaching, the lab that he has been in, because he's watched his uncles. This isn't his dad. His uncle is Eli Manning. And he had a certain way of doing it in New York City and winning 2 Super Bowls, right? And then we know Archie Manning's the biggest deal with the Colts, winning Tennessee, the whole thing. He's been around that, but his grandfather, Archie Manning, was a superstar among superstars. We don't give him enough credit of how great he was, how he changed Mississippi football in 1969. When, you know, what he did, New Orleans, he lost all the time, but it was amazing what he did. For him to have his grandfather right there in town and have his dad teach him about big-time athletics, big-time media, right, because he's a big media guy as well, making a lot of money, doing things. For him to have that kind of environment growing up, and then have the Manning camp. Do you know how cool it would be if, you know how big the Manning camp is?
Right.
Every good quarterback in the country wants to go to the Manning camp in Louisiana, where they have all the best quarterbacks in high school and college come together and they run this camp. Well, he gets a chance to go there, and it's not like, oh, just another day at the office. When he goes there, he doesn't hang out with Eli very much. He lives in New Orleans. He has his own life. Eli lives in New York City, but for that period of time, for those probably 2 or 3 weeks, the whole family gets together, and they give him the workout. They taught him how to be a pro, and he's only a high school player. He's like a pro mentality. I always talk about Patrick Mahomes' success level to me was a greater probability because he was around Major League Baseball with his dad. I keep talking about that. It's very important to handle all the accolades that come, all the pressure. Guys, I think Texas is going to win. I think Texas is going to be really good. And you mentioned the whole family. But when they walk in the building, the Texas has the best recruits in the country normally. They can assign who they want. And one of the reasons why it's hard for them to win, Nate, is they've gotten into getting commitments, verbal commitments from sophomores. You guys have had kids, especially you, Steven. If you told your sophomore kid he's made it, like you're going to go to the University of Texas, and he hasn't even played his junior or senior year in high school, do you think he would just work his butt off and get a lot better, or do you think he'd be walking around with Texas gear and everyone patting him on the back? They don't end up being as good of players when they get there because they've been anointed too early. Their brains can't handle this. So these Texas players walk in thinking they're the greatest ever, and you know, soft. They're soft. They don't hit hard. All this kind of stuff, and that's why Texas doesn't win. And now Arch Manning walks in, and there's, you know, Archie Manning walking in, saying, hello, I want to introduce, you know, I want to meet people around here. I'm telling you what, they demand winning. When he walks in, all those Texas players aren't going to go, yeah, I'm great. Ooh, I'm not as good as that dude. What do I need to do? And he'll, you know, these camps were, how about Patrick Mahomes this year? What's one of the big stories we've been talking about each Friday? Getting together with the receivers in Texas, right? Not over at Bishop Miege when they're in town. They're going down there and meeting. Arch Manning may have that in the summer. He may have Texas football players heading down to New Orleans and throwing the ball around for a week or so. You see what I'm saying? I think they're going to win. I think he will overcome the coaching. Any coaching problems Texas has, he's going to walk in and say, we are going to win.
But they have, I was reading a little bit about it, they have a really good relationship with the quarterback coach there. You know, and this was a well-researched decision, right? Family decision.
They always know the inner workings of how it really.
Right, they have a comfort level already with the quarterback coach.
He didn't just have a crush on a gal he met on campus. Or something.
And the other thing I look at is,
and he probably has his NIL all worked out pretty well too.
And I know there's been plenty of high school football players with tremendous hype, but I mean we've been talking about this kid for such a long time, and there's such giant expectations. There has been already. He's been dealing with them, right? He's been in the media spotlight because of his name. But then also Rivals has him ranked as the number one player in the nation, right? And so he has all, and it seems like he's been able to handle it because of what you said. He has all these different resources to draw upon, and he's been... If there was ever a quarterback that is built for this, that was born for this, that has learned the right way to handle all these things, it's him, right?
I mean, well, in my opinion, I mean,
how many high school players have we talked about for this long as a recruit before they take one step on a college campus?
I don't get into the recruiting stuff because projecting who's going to be good is not. You can be. It's getting better and more refined.
But they've been talking about it since eighth grade.
But this guy, you know? I'm totally bought in. I'm the guy who's saying I don't know of a recruit. Pick a number, Steven. 10 years. I mean, to me, he is the biggest recruit in the last 10 years. I think he will be the starting quarterback, and I think Texas is going to win. He will cause Texas to be 2 games better than they were without him, even with other big name quarterbacks, because these guys know how to win. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And it isn't about, oh, we're great. A lot of people may not like the Manning family and say they're too cocky. And remember when Eli's drafted and his dad was right there, Archie Manning, kind of saying, he's not going to play for the Chargers. Right there, right when he got drafted. He's not playing for the Chargers. And they basically forced a trade, so he ended up going to the Giants, right? So you can say that they don't just – they're not the nice little family that just lets it happen, however, and is humble. You could argue that they go grab what they want. But,
that's what winning's about, though.
But they know they're grabbing the right stuff, and they have this young man by the neck. I don't know him, but I guarantee you, he is confident and has high expectations. But he's been humbled by the people around him. They act like you are no big deal. You're just a human being, and if you don't perform and work harder than everybody else, then it just doesn't matter. And he's got size, strength, accuracy throwing the football, awesome training. But the mentality of a young 18-year-old is just as important as their athletic ability. I mean, look at Ochai Agbaji.
I mean, yeah.
He was just a high school kid who was a, kind of a good basketball player, right? But his mentality, his family, how they brought him up just laid the groundwork for unbelievable improvement. And like Bill Self said, it's not done. He's going to continue to improve. I mean, I could not be more high.
6'4", 215, just like everything's like.
Arch Manning. I feel bad that I think if he's not just a superstar and winning big time at Texas, I'll be the most surprised guy in the world.
And so that's what why I talked about him already having to deal with these gigantic expectations under the microscope, because now when he goes to Texas, what are the expectations? A national championship and a Heisman Trophy award?
Yeah, starter first day in, which is unfair.
Right?
Yeah. He shouldn't start until it's probably his sophomore year.
I mean, every human being is different, and so you'll see how different people handle pressure, but, you know, the apple usually not falling too far from the tree, and all the influences and guidance and everything that he has makes you think that he'll be able, you know, I've heard the phrase, you know, pressure is a privilege. The people that approach it the right way, instead of thinking, oh, man, this is a big weight to carry, it's like, yeah, that's privilege to be in the situation where people expect things of you. And that old line that we heard, I'll never forget it, when J.J. Piccolo told me this about Eric Hosmer when he was coming up through the minor leagues. He said, if you're going to win a championship, your best guy has to be your best guy. And, you know, in football, your best guy is almost always your quarterback. And that's why, to me, like, I would have never.
Unless you're the Miami Dolphins.
Right. Yeah, no, then we want our star to be. That's why, like, when I heard that, I'm like, well, they're not going to win a Super Bowl. But. You know, that's why I would have never drafted Johnny Manziel. You know, you could watch him run around and make all these great plays and all that stuff, but he was never going to be the best guy on the team. And in football, your best guy is your quarterback, and if your best guy needs to be your best guy, your quarterback needs to be your best guy. And then it goes back to the things we saw from the last dance with Michael Jordan. I'll never forget Michael Jordan when he talked. You know, saying winning comes at a price, and not everybody's willing to pay the price. And my teammates might have said I was a jerk, but every single one of them, if you ask them, if I ever told them to do something I wasn't doing myself, you know, like that's part of leadership right there. You know, if you're sitting around barking orders at everybody else, if Arch Manning goes in there like, hey, I'm part of the Manning royalty. And I get to do things. I get to play by a different set of rules than you guys because I'm great. I'm 6'4", 220. I'm the number one draft pick. I know the Mannings. I'm going to the NFL. So I don't have to do all the things that you guys do. He's going to be a terrible leader, and it won't work. But you just don't feel like he's going to be like that, because that's exactly what Uncle Eli and Uncle Peyton have been telling him, and Grandpa have been telling him his whole life is, if you want to be a quarterback, you have to be the best guy on the team. You have to outwork everybody else, because then you can demand that from them. You have to be more prepared than everybody else, know the playbook better than everybody else, know all their responsibilities. Then when they screw it up, you can get on them. You know, all those things, he's going to know all that. I'll be stunned if he doesn't approach the game that way, which will make him the best guy.
Yeah, and I think quarterbacking is a unique thing in that you can touch so many people, at least 10 people in the huddle, probably a group of 20 that play all the time and rotate in. The best way to be a great quarterback is make everyone else just a little bit better around you, because the exponential effect.
So I was having a conversation with Trent Green at the Big 12 tournament. We were hanging out with him, and I can't remember what brought it up, but we started talking about exactly this, and he said, you know, my favorite thing. We were actually talking about the difference between the physical part of the game, and everybody wants to talk about your physical attributes versus the mental part. And he said, you know, my favorite part of the game was getting in the huddle with 10 guys and realizing that you had to form a unique connection with each one of those guys, because you had to. And he was like, you know, I knew that Willie Rofe was motivated differently than John Tate was. You know, I knew Eddie Kinnison, different things motivated him than maybe Priest Holmes. And if one guy needed a little kick in the ass versus a guy that needed you to pat him on the back a little bit, and all those things, and the quarterback is the guy in the huddle that's got to read all 10 of those guys, plus all the guys on the bench, and which receivers need the ball maybe thrown to him a little bit more to keep him engaged or whatever. And that's what the quarterback does, right?
Yeah. And just your aura can you get in the huddle and call the same play that 1,000 other people could communicate verbally just as well as you and could pronunciate the words? But how is it that you can look, and when you say it, they all believe it's going to work?
Right.
Because there are no perfect play calls.
Right.
Any play can work. But it's the coolest thing about quarterbacking. And I know it's a little bit different with a no huddle, so I think there's a little bit lost in that translation. But, you know, the passing game works, don't get me wrong. But when you have the greatest of quarterbacks, you want to have those huddles. You want to have those opportunities to say, you know, just you don't have to do anything unique. It's just that you have the ability day after day, minute after minute, they're always watching you. And if you always are reliable and you know that you're going to make winning plays and they see you make winning plays and, like you say, behind the scenes, winning efforts and working harder and being reasonable and knowing how to touch each person and care about the team. What's great about being a quarterback is you don't have to worry about your stats. You have to worry about your wins. It's the easiest thing, I think, to go, did our team win the game? That's how much you're into the defense doing well. Because we talk more about the winning with the quarterback like a coach than we do their stats. Because go look at NFL stats. You guys look at them. They pretty much lay over each other pretty closely. The teams that are 6-11's quarterback stats really aren't that much different than the teams that are 12-5. You're going to get your numbers, but you're thinking about winning. And if you, along with the coaching staff, can get the players to believe you can make the winning plays and that I believe you, more importantly to me, as a quarterback, Trent Green or whomever, I believe, Eddie Kinnison, you can make the winning play. If I throw you the ball on this 3rd and 7, you might be the third receiver. The coaches may think that we're trying to go to number one or number two. We need to get the ball over here to Tyreek Hill or Travis Kelce. It's not going to work. And he's like, no, Byron Pringle, I believe in you. You didn't say it. You don't have time to talk about all that stuff, but they can feel it. And you, boom, you're Mahomes. You deliver a ball, and there's Byron Pringle making a catch. First down, Chiefs. If he doesn't believe, he'll drop the ball. So, no, it's really cool. I just think team sports are incredible. The continuity and nothing's better than football and the quarterback position. And, Steven, both your guys' reaction was exactly when I saw the scroll. Arch Manning is going to, and I go, Texas. Oh, my, I'm glad they're going to the SEC. That's exactly what I thought. And I might have counted it up wrong because I was hungry. I thought we wouldn't have to deal with Arch Manning very much. But, no, I totally believe in that family, and it goes past football. That's what's crazy. Like, Archie Manning, anything he does, he's the president of the National Football Foundation or something and does all those Hall of Fame
just
activities.
Just look at the Manning cast. You know, like I get the man.
Yeah, now he's got
Got Omaha Productions. They're putting on a regular television show, aren't they?
Everything they touch is
Peyton's,
successful.
Yeah. So I just think that this kid, what I've seen him in high school, he's done a great job. This is not just hype.
Look right now on ESPN.
He looks like he can play.
What are they talking about? Arch Manning commits to Texas.
How many years will he play? I guess 3. But they, you know what, the Mannings, they don't get in a hurry. They went
need money.
They went 4 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wonder what his NIL contract is like.
Right. Okay, so that's one topic. The other topic, Marco was right about. So you didn't get the number one, but the number two topic. There's an article at ESPN.com, ESPN Plus. Have you seen this, Nate?
Yeah, I was just reading it last night, actually. Yeah.
And so good. So this will be you. Mm-hmm. Representing this, Bill Connelly wrote a lengthy article, and the headline is, "Can Lance Leipold do at Kansas what Bill Snyder did at Kansas State?" And so they write, and that's impossible. I mean, he'll never do what Bill Snyder did at Kansas State because there was only one situation like that. And I as much as you love Lance Leipold, I can't picture him being as successful as Bill Snyder was, but it's just it's the example anyone uses when you have a program that is hit rock bottom and needs to be elevated or turned around, right? And it's an example in the same state. And so it goes through and talks a little bit about Lance Leipold and the success he had, a 6-time Division III national champion. Building a program from scratch at Buffalo and kind of goes through this. And then Nate, I'm sure you did not enjoy how they chronicled the last 13 years of Kansas football. And boy, and it's, and we've lived it, but man, oh man, Stan, it's something to read it just to see where they were.
Well, when you were born, the Royals took off.
Right.
When Nate left the sidelines, Kansas football dropped.
So there's a lot
is it
there.
Because you two guys? I mean, there's something about it.
I'd like to say that's true, but the truth is I was there for the entire Turner Gill and Charlie Weiss eras. So I got to see.
Oh, so it wasn't.
I got to see the highest of highs and the lowest of lows.
But it, you know, and it goes through. Obviously, you know, Kansas when they're at their peak when they were 12-1, and that one of course was to Mizzou, 8-5.
Who was their coach when they did that?
Mark Mangino.
Where did he learn?
Bill Snyder.
Okay, so let's just make it simple for everyone who doesn't, you know, want to drive off the road before we go to break, because Marco says we got to go to break. But no. The giant, big letters, no. He is not going to do what Bill Snyder did. It is not even going to be close. Bill Snyder is so special, so unbelievable. Now, if we want to talk about all the reasons why Kansas football can be better and grow and improve and follow a blueprint and do things well in the state of Kansas, we can talk all day. But okay. We cannot go to break without me answering this question.
Right.
No.
But let me ask.
Don't compare to Bill Snyder.
Let me ask this first question.
No chance.
This first question let me ask you. And I'll ask you too. And Marco can even vote. What's the worst hire after Mark Mangino? Turner Gill, Charlie Weiss, David Beatty, or Les Miles? What's the worst hire?
That's a hell of a rushmore of terrible hires.
Right, right. I mean, maybe even rank them. Like, yes, because there's I'll listen to arguments about all of them. What's the worst?
It's an easy one for me, though, even though they're all so terrible. Yeah.
What is it?
Charlie Weiss. Charlie Weiss.
Is it worse than Les Miles?
Yes. Yes.
Really?
But not by a ton. But yes.
Because you said it was easy.
And the reason why is because there was an easy slam dunk, obvious, in-your-face hire of a guy that wanted to be there and would have walked there for half the money. And, you know, I was saying that all the way back at the time. Dave Dorn wanted the job.
I also remember they guy that you were butting heads with on Twitter, you know, one time. That
Charlie Weiss done this and that.
But that you had, I'm not going to get too far into it, but had a real-life interaction with, you know. I remember.
It sounds like inside information. Right, you guys are looking at each other like you know exactly what you're talking about.
My point is.
But we're not hearing it.
We weren't like super excited about the Charlie Weiss or the Les Miles.
I hated both of them. Yeah.
I can't. Are you kidding me? These are great hires. And like when they hired Les Miles, we're like, what are they? What's going on here? That was such a bizarre hire. When you said, this is easy for me. I thought you were going to say Les Miles.
Charlie Weiss and Les Miles are far and away worse than the David Beatty and Turner Gill hires.
What
actually.
Do you say?
Well, first of all, you put outside comparisons of what he could have done instead of hiring Charlie Weiss. Okay, so that's deep thought right there. If you just took them and how they coached, forget why they were picked or who they were picked over, then Les Miles.
And that's fair because they're both just disastrous.
Not because Les Miles. Yeah. It's just the wrong time in Les Miles' life. 10 years before, Charlie Weiss would have been way worse than Les Miles. But where Les Miles was, and we didn't know it until we saw him start coaching and doing press conferences and so forth, it's just...
As soon as you heard him talking,
it's not the same Les Miles that it was at Oklahoma State or LSU. Does that make sense?
Yep.
So I think it's Les Miles. Easy.
And David Beatty went 6-42, and he's not even being mentioned here.
You know...
No, David Beatty was... David Beatty was... Fine, it was, you know, no chance of winning, but he tried to do things the right way. And don't put Turner Gill in the he's not even in this conversation. I mean, he's a solid coach. You know, he wasn't given time to just let it work through, right? If he were given 10 years and God came down and said, no one can touch this decision, let's go for 10 years, Kansas football would not be down near the bottom. It would just be... You know, lower middle, all those kind of things. He's not a killer coach, but he had his stuff together and building a program, caring about every little aspect, I think, better than these other guys.
I'll tell you, to me, after the break, there's a common thread in all four of those hires that was completely gotten wrong by Kansas.
Okay.
And there's something that's totally different about Leipold than all four of those hires that I love.
That's a good tease.
Yeah, because I want to say as well, I think Lance Leipold is a legitimate hire and not like those other four. So when I said, you were asking a question about Bill Snyder versus Lance Leipold. This is not a cutdown to Lance
that's
Leipold.
That's Bill Connelly asking that question, not me.
You heard my answer, though, with a big no.
Right.
There is a lot of room for where Bill Snyder is, and I'm not tall enough to raise my hand up high. Can you? We're not on TV anymore, but my hand's up there high, right?
I'm tall enough?
I got to stand up and raise my hand. Bill Snyder's up there. There's plenty of room for excellence.
Right.
For Lance Leipold to fill in the gap.
Right, but that's why I said that's impossible.
You see what I'm saying, Nate?
Would I answer that question?
I think he's, as soon as he's hired, I said legitimate coach. Kansas has a legitimate football coach, and they're going to be fine. They hired the right guy. He'll do it the right way. And I can spend a lot of time telling you why I believe in Lance Leipold and the way he does things, including real quick. You mentioned his head coaching experience. He's won championships. He's turned Buffalo around. And many other things that he does well. But look at where he was when he was an assistant. Look at where he was. He was at Wisconsin when they turned it around with Barry Alvarez. I mean, he also has been at places where it's big-time names and was an assistant there. So, yeah, Lance Leipold is doing a very good job. I have no reason to be negative toward him. But please don't compare. What you don't want to do at your job is being compared to a guy who does their job like Bill Snyder coaches football. Okay? That's like the least thing you would want to do today. Anybody listening out there, I hope you don't have a Bill Snyder around your job doing things like he does, because then it would be an embarrassment to be compared to it.
It would be more fair to say, can Lance Leipold do at Kansas what Mark Mangino did?
Exactly.
That would be more of a fair question, right?
100%. Look, I won't say zero chance.
Because I said nobody will do what Bill Snyder did. You can't. Yeah. You can't duplicate. You can't. Yeah. No one can. And so that's not a slight to Lance Leipold. But that's what. Hey, look at that headline. We get people all fired up. But I think it would be. I mean, maybe it's not go 12-1. But can he do what Mark Mangino did? You'd be satisfied with that, wouldn't you?
Oh, 100%.
If he gets to 8-5 and goes to
100%. I mean, but first of all, Mark Mangino got a team to 12-1. I know,
but
Orange Bowl,
I think it's unfair to.
But even then, I used to argue with KU fans all the time that shouldn't be the expectation. If Mark Mangino can keep the team around 6 wins on an annual basis, and then every once in a while go up and win double-digit games, they should keep him forever and ever and ever. Because at Kansas, that you should be thrilled with. Kansas has never maintained that in the history of their program. So, and the Bill Snyder thing, I'll never say 0% because life happens. Nobody thought Bill Snyder was going to do what he did, so I'll give it a 0.1%, whatever. But it's just not fair. It's not fair to compare any. Bill Snyder's one of the greatest coaches in the history of American sports. You know, and I know that guy that doesn't like me because he doesn't think I'm enough of a KU fan, gets mad when I say these things.
Dollar signs.
If a guy goes to coach at K-State, and you say, hey, can he be the next Bill Self? That's not fair to him. That's not fair. That's not a fair thing to ask. And Bill Snyder's one of the greatest coaches in the history of American sports, period. So don't put that standard on him. Just say, hey, can he go to Kansas and build a perennially winning program? Because if he did, he'd be the greatest football
headline.
Coach in KU history.
That's not a fun headline.
That's right.
What Matt Campbell has done at Iowa State?
There you go.
Something like that. You know, get better.
Can Lance Leipold do it, Kansas, with Nick Saban done? We'll take a break. Back after this on WHB. I like it when I can get Nate and Stan fired up in the same segment. I'm having fun. And you'll have fun if you call Window Nation. Don't you understand that? My friends at Window Nation keep telling you that home prices are on the rise, which means the more improvements you make in your home now, the better the return on your investment. And I'm telling you, new windows from Window Nation is one of the best things you can do, especially now. During summer, demand is down, so Window Nation can make this incredible offer. Get 2 free windows for every 2 you buy. Plus, put no money down, make no payments, and pay no interest for 2 full years. All right? Call 866-90-NATION or go to windownation.com for a free in-home estimate or online quote. Lock in your zero down, zero payments with zero interest for 2 years and get 2 free windows with every 2 you buy. Now's the time to get more for your money. Call Window Nation today and tell them Stephen St. John sent you. 866-90-NATION or Go online at windownation.com. Let me tell you something. This guy has been ranting and raving the entire commercial break. Stan, am I exaggerating? Did Nate rant and rave the entire commercial break?
Yes. I mean, and he, I could say that he didn't move, like didn't leave the area, but he did move because he stood up and he was flailing his arms. And he was.
Marco, what did you see in here?
These microphones allow us to stand up. I mean, Nate now can get up and he can go down and he can sit down.
He's
and
exasperated.
Well, so can I tell you the this common thread between those four hires?
I'd love to hear it.
Because and I get a little touchy about it too because of the certain segment of KU fans that I have heard from over the past 13 years that have accused me of not being enough of a KU fan because I've been highly critical of what they've done with the football, what they've done to the football program that I actually love and care about. And I actually think it means it's a deeper form of love if when you see somebody mistreating something you love, that you call it out instead of just pretending that it's all going to be great. And I had problems with all those things. Let's go back to Bill Snyder for a moment. And it's kind of appropriate that on the day that two relatively unheralded recruits at Kansas became first-round draft picks, and then a guy that anybody in the country could have had in a major conference, and Ochai Agbaji became a lottery pick, development might actually matter a little bit. Getting guys with character and the right mentality that are willing to receive coaching and work might actually matter a little bit. And Bill Snyder built a perennial winning program with this unbelievable winning culture where the standard was set and guys like Nick Leckie came to, I mean, you could just go down the list of, I don't know, hundreds of guys that played for Bill Snyder that most teams could have had that got better and better every single year and then became pros and became all Big 12 guys and all those things because of the culture that was set up there, because of the absolute painstaking attention to detail of leaving no stone unturned when it came to finding guys with potential and then leaving no stone unturned when it came to squeezing every drop out of that potential and encouraging these guys to be the best they could be and all those things, that's what Bill Snyder did, and that's what Mark Mangino learned under Bill Snyder, and I saw it most close. I didn't get to ever really work within the Manhattan program, but I saw it from the periphery, and then I saw what Mark Mangino, to his credit, sometimes you take the things you learn. We've seen guys go to Bill Belichick, and they learn the wrong things. They miss the parts that he actually is getting. You know, to Mark Mangino's credit, that's what he went out and did. He got Chris Harris Jr., who was a two-star recruit that nobody wanted, and developed him into an all-pro. You know, and it wasn't. It was because he hired good coaches and good strength and conditioning coordinators and all that stuff. And it was all steak and very little sizzle. Bill Snyder wasn't going out there, you know, wowing people with his really thrilling press conferences and funny one-liners and getting five-star recruits that made everybody go. I mean, every once in a while, K-State would get a big recruit that got you really excited. But most of their best players, to me, were guys that nobody was really here. Nobody's talking about Jordy Nelson when he went to K-State. He was a walk-on at first, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm.
And he becomes an all-pro.
Oh, he was a walk-on defensive back.
So, you know, like...
The greatest trade ever is when Marcus Watts, who was playing wide receiver for K-State, and Jordy Nelson was playing defensive back as two walk-ons from smaller areas in the state of Kansas, kind of, you can even say, central to western Kansas kids. Bill Snyder said, you know what, why don't you two consider switching? And guess what? Marcus Watts became a starting free safety for K-State and played at a big-time level, and Jordy Nelson worked pretty well with Aaron Rodgers in the NFL with the Green Bay Packers.
So Kansas kept hiring guys that sold them on this idea that I'm going to come here and I'm going to recruit. You know, I'm going to get these big great athletes to come to Kansas. Charlie White's going to throw out his Super Bowl rings on the table and say, I coach Tom Brady. I'm going to get Dane Chris to come to town. I'm going to get all these big-name guys to come to town. Les Miles, I'm going to throw up my national championship rings, and I'm on Dr. Pepper commercials and all this stuff. It's all sizzle and no steak. And they finally got a guy that is steak over sizzle. a guy that is willing, not willing, not just willing, but determined to do the work, to demand of all of his coaches that they put in the work, that they approach this humbly and realize we ain't getting five stars here. Even if we win for 3 or 4 years at Kansas, the five-star kids, Arch Manning ain't coming to Kansas. He's going to somewhere like Texas. We're going to have to get 2- and 3-star kids, and we're going to have to coach them up and develop them into winners with mentality, with hard work, with discipline, with focus, and all those things. And I would never sit here and claim that he'll do it at Bill Snyder's level, because only a fool would predict anybody to do something at Bill Snyder's level. Only a fool would have predicted Bill Snyder would do it at his level, because he's one of the greatest to ever do it. And maybe Lance Leipold can be one of the greatest coaches to ever live too. I'm not going to say he can't do it, but I would never predict it. But I do believe that he is going to turn Kansas into a consistently competitive team that I, as a Kansas fan, can be proud of, because he does embody some of those same characteristics, the ones that matter. Because in football, especially in a place like Kansas, you got to outwork. But even at Alabama, Nick Saban, he gets all the big-time guys, but he'll win wherever he goes because he has that discipline and focus and work ethic and all the things you really have to do to win in football. And Kansas has finally hired somebody like that. So there's my rant.
How do you feel after being exposed to this, Stan?
I just wonder if we went to break and came back, or if we, because I can't tell the difference. Sitting in here,
I
joke with people sometimes when we do go to break, it's really nice that you could take a deep breath, go get a drink of coffee for you, whatever. But usually when I'm on Sports Radio 810, almost, because I'm not here every day, I'm just another fan out there, like the listeners. Usually, the breaks are just as exciting as when we're on the air. We just keep talking about stuff and keep rolling, and all of a sudden, I see you put your headset on. I go, oh, now we're changing to on the air. But I just wonder, are we still on the air? Are we at break? I can't keep track.
Do you think he's wound up?
Yeah, but he sat down the whole time this time. He did not stand up. Arms not flailing.
Right.
But it's great to see this kind of passion with Nate.
He's wild.
Talking about football.
I'm not a complete sunshine pumper. I love football, and I love Kansas football. I've had multiple family members that played there, and that's why it frustrated me so much over the past, 15 years almost.
He used to throw things at him when he was on the sideline. KU football.
No way.
Opposing fans. Yeah.
Well, Tortillas
at Texas Tech. He's not special. Everybody gets that treatment.
I've asked for this for my entire life.
Did Nate ask like it was special?
Right. I'd eat them left and throw some tortillas my way, and you'll see what
Thank
happens.
They throw you a football, you might not catch it, but the tortillas, you're like, pop, pop, yeah.
I hope it makes sense.
Well, let me tell you something else exciting, because what you're not supposed to be excited about if you're in the Kansas City region is that the Big 12 is going to change, and the mighty dollars that are commanded from the ESPNs and the Amazons or whoever, they think that Texas and Oklahoma going to the SEC is going to leave the Big 12 without big money. What's the contract going to be like when they go out to the market here in 4 years? It's a giant question. It really is important to see how much. Right now the Big 12 is logging in as the third most wealthy recipient of television money. Okay, the Big Ten with their network has been amazing, and the SEC, obviously, with their ability and their contracts, are also giant. You divide by their 16 teams or 14 teams that per team, the Big 12 even scoots up further because they only have 10. But everyone says disaster. Texas and Oklahoma are leaving. So that question about the money, let's leave that out there hanging, because we don't know how it's going to go. I'm even more optimistic about that. But what I'm really excited about is if Oklahoma is not playing football in the Big 12 Conference, and Texas, now that Arch Manning is there, is not playing football in the Big 12 Conference, and you bring in these other teams, who is going to win the championships in the Big 12 over the next 10 years when we all settle in a 12-team league? I mean, it is going to be so competitive.
And
you can make a case for a lot of schools saying, we can play ball at a high level. If Oklahoma and Texas aren't sitting in your football conference, everybody can say, we can now move to the top. We can be in the championship game. It's a realistic expectations and winning championships. I think over a 10-year period, if the Big 12 stays at those 12 teams that we expect to be at starting about 4 years from now, there's going to be multiple champions. And if anybody even has three out of 10, you're going to be patting him on the back like, wow, really good job. But if you're BYU, why don't you think, let's go? Cincinnati, where they sit now, historically maybe not, but where they sit right now, they're like, we're ready for this.
Yep.
You look at UCF. Have they had some football success in the last 5 years? They're going, here we go. And Houston, they used to be great in the Southwest Conference. They won championships, and they've got things going there. They've got great athletes in their area. They're now going to be a Big 12 school. And, oh, by the way, K-State, Oklahoma State, Iowa State's feeling confident. Baylor, who's broke through. TCU's won football games. Texas Tech's like, we are right there as well. And Kansas, why wouldn't they include themselves in the mix? So I think it's going to be super cool and fun when the Big 12 settles in without Oklahoma and Texas. It is going to be a heck of a football conference. And that has to get you, you know, for Lance Leipold, even these four new teams, they don't know you're supposed to walk in and kill KU. This stuff matters. You know what I'm saying? When Nebraska used to be awesome and just walk into the stadium, everybody knew, right? It's like they knew they're going to win and you knew you were going to lose. And it affected the game. When Texas came to the Big 12, do you think we thought Texas was dominant? Where we all got, if the Southwest Conference teams used to lose to Texas all the time. But when Texas came to the Big 12, K-State said, what's the big deal? Just started beating the hell out of them, right? Had a better than 500 record for a long time against Texas head-to-head. When Nebraska went to the Big 10, I said, hey, no one's going to be intimidated by Nebraska anymore. And guess what? Northwestern soon came into Lincoln and beat them. Mm-hmm. They're not scared to beat them. Iowa, Minnesota, whoever. Same thing here. It could be on the negative side going up. KU versus UCF. UCF's not going to walk in and go, well, we come here every year and win.
And KU's not going to look at it and go, oh, gosh, it's UCF. What are we going to do?
It's a play. You know, I don't know if you guys feel that. Yeah. I could find any reason to be excited about football, Stephen, especially when we're 70 days away from both all of Mizzou, KU, and K-State. 70 days from now, we'll all have played their first game.
Hey, I already booked my stay to St. Joe August 1st. I check in July 31st. I'm good to go. That's it.
And we're only 49 days away from the Chiefs' first preseason
training
game.
Camp's on my calendar.
So it's, you see how it's easy for me to get excited? But, I mean, I'm really – I think the Big 12, if they can get a television contract that keeps them in the mix of the Power 5 schools, they're not going to keep up with the SEC and the Big 10 in dollars per school. But if they stay there as the third best, better than the Pac-12, better than the ACC, which they have a good chance of doing, I think, and deserve more money – They're more interesting to the television networks. The ACC's already got a bad contract, and it lasts for a decade at least. So they're not in good shape. The Pac-12's not in good shape at all. Wrong time zone, all those kind of things. If the Big 12 can get the money, the competition in football is going to be off the charts. Now, you could say the same thing about basketball because Houston's really good at basketball. There's no reason why BYU wouldn't. Cincinnati normally is. But, you know, Kansas is still here, so you'd have to say Kansas is the favorite. So that part of it's not changing. I'm excited about the basketball as well. But football, who's going to win the most championships in that first 10 years?
Hopefully it's, you know, hopefully it's a different team every year kind of thing. You know,
yeah,
at least,
and it can be, realistically.
Yeah. College football needs more of that.
Is that okay with you, Stephen? I know you're more focused on Mizzou and the SEC.
No, I like it. I like it.
And you may be
open
in a pod. You want to be in a pod with Oklahoma and Texas? If they do a four-team pod, if they do that scheduling style – in the SEC, which means they'll play 9 conference games.
I don't want to be in a pod with anybody. That's going to be left.
Who are the 3 teams you want to be in a pod with? Arkansas for sure.
South
right?
Carolina.
They're going to put you. South Carolina.
Who would I want to be in?
You think they'll have Arkansas no matter what?
Yes.
Okay, and then what will they go after that?
I would like the games that I've enjoyed the most since Mizzou has been in the SEC. I've enjoyed the South Carolina games. They've always been, to me, they've been fun, intriguing games.
They're always in
Wild
Columbia,
games.
Too.
Yeah, that's right. Kentucky, especially the last couple of years, those were always exciting games. I mean, the last 2 years, even last year they had a chance with the ball at the end.
So it's unlikely Kentucky will be matched with Mizzou, right?
But that's just
chance of South Carolina.
That's what I want. I'd say South Carolina. I'd say Kentucky. Because I'm looking for chances to win here. I don't need
Vanderbilt.
I'm not asking to be Texas.
How about,
Oklahoma.
Do you think it'll be Arkansas, Oklahoma, and Texas?
Give me Kentucky, South Carolina, and Vanderbilt. Hey, I like the way you think.
Everybody wants Vanderbilt. Like when they say, everybody, now that we have 16 teams, why
Vanderbilt.
Don't you tell us what your preference is of who you'd like to have in your pod? Who are the other 3 teams? And Vanderbilt's on all 15 teams list. Vanderbilt?
Yeah. But you know what? Whatever. I just want Missouri to be good.
Do you have an opinion about that? Do you want to see this pod system where you play the same three teams every year and play six other to go nine, or do you like the eight-team conference schedule that the SEC has where you won't see everyone as often and you only have one partner? You'll play one team every year, and it'll be a random new group. Which way do you want the SEC to go? Because right now it is 50-50. They're having a hard time figuring this out.
I'd probably rather have just one one opponent, you know, every year.
Let's just say Arkansas. You play Arkansas every year.
Yeah.
And the other seven games
be more random.
Will be it'll take you a while to work your way all the way through the conference.
Yeah. I don't want to have to play Oklahoma every year because that doesn't work out well in my life in the past. So I'd like to avoid that.
But how enjoyable would it be if you were winning more than half the games against OU?
Oh, it'd be great, but I mean, that's...
Isn't it about time?
Probably not, Stan. Uh-huh.
Brent Venables, he knows Bob Stoops, and he knows Bill Snyder, too. Yeah, he's probably a good hire.
Oklahoma, in my life, in two games, has prevented Missouri from playing in the Final Four and prevented Missouri from playing for the national championship. So I don't need to see Missouri play Oklahoma in anything ever again for the rest of my life, Stan.
And they stopped them from winning two Big 12 football championships,
Right, that's right. So I don't need that. I'm going to see it. It's going to be thrown in my face, and I have to deal with our little bald friend down there at the end, Todd Lebo, with his passive-aggressive text messages. But you know what? That's part of being here at Union Broadcasting.
With Todd Lebo and Union Broadcasting are a must together.
That's right. Right, synonymous.
What a nice guy.
Unless your team's playing Oklahoma. We have, we'll be right back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Well, in the past couple years, so much has changed about what we want and need in a home. If you're looking to make a move and land a home that fits your needs, you got to be prepared because these things are moving fast these days. Real estate is moving at record speeds. That means it's key to have a trusted lender in your corner with a pre-approval. While you've heard me talk about how great Golden Oak Lending is when it comes to refinances, you should know they're great at purchases as well. Timing is crucial with a home purchase. Golden Oak Lending's team of local loan officers are here to help you every step of the way. You'll work with the same experienced local loan officer from start to finish, which means there are no surprises. With an in-house team, they can rapidly work on your loan and get you to closing quickly. And Golden Oak sends the funds the day before closing, which means no more waiting to receive your keys. You'll be on your way. Plus, Golden Oak offers an appraisal guarantee. If your loan doesn't close for any reason, even due to the home inspection, you won't pay for the appraisal. This gives you peace of mind that you won't spend unnecessary money if something falls through. Make an offer with confidence. Call 913-890-GOLD. That's 913-890-GOLD. Or head over to goldenoaklending.com right now to get started on your pre-approval. It's
Thank you to Stan Weber for joining us in studio. Nate just had a cigarette after his long rant. Now we check in with Gary Lezak. Hello, Gary.
Boomer!
Nope.
Boomer!
You win enough.
Are you scared now that Texas is going to get Arch Manning?
I don't really care.
Wow. Wow.
You know what?
Maybe you will when he starts kicking your butt.
I guess I'm not going to expect a Missouri Tiger and a KU Jayhawks to stay sooner.
Mm-mm.
I mean, I'd say Rock Chalk Jayhawks. I had to.
Ole Miss will face Oklahoma in the best of three championship series this weekend in Omaha in the College World Series.
I guess I know what I'm doing at 6 p.m. Saturday night.
Jiving up there with Todd Lebo?
Is he going?
He said he would, but we'll see.
I have a friend in California since college, and he flew out with a one-way ticket to Omaha to watch the Sooners, and he's still there. It is amazing.
Let me tell you something. You have a chance as an Oklahoma grad to celebrate – celebrate victories
in
the softball team and the baseball team to win national championships in the same season. Can you believe that?
I don't have to be there. I can still celebrate.
Are you going to watch though?
Yeah. I've been obsessed. The Sooners softball and baseball.
Do you think it's more exciting than Royals baseball?
Well, yeah. Okay. I mean, that's easy. I mean, the 12-11 game 2 nights ago was pretty good.
That was
okay,
good.
Anyway, back to the weather. Okay,
thank we got you.
Weather. My goodness. The most of the cities underneath these heavy thunderstorms, they are not severe. We had about a 40 to 45 mile per hour wind gust. A shelf cloud. I tweeted out that shelf cloud. You should go check it out. It's pretty cool. And now the leading edge is from around Oak Grove, Odessa, Higginsville, south to Lone Jack, and moving off to the south and east. Again, not severe, just very heavy rain. The south side of the city, south of the 435 loop, is on the southern edge of this. You may get clipped by a brief thunderstorm, but you're not getting the deluge of rain that it would be nice for your lawn down south, because you're going to get a little bit. And this will move by, and then the heat's going to build in about 86, 88 this afternoon, not bad, 92 to 95, 97 maybe tomorrow. Then a cold front comes through, it's in the 70s on Sunday, and then we'll be watching the best of three World Series of college baseball, you know, over the weekend. So that's exciting. Any questions?
You have a watch party?
You want to come over?
Maybe.
Yeah.
We can go watch the Elvis movie and then watch the College World Series.
It's not a bad idea, but tomorrow is Andy Caraway, my 24-year partner's birthday.
Hey, happy birthday,
Andy.
Are
you allowed to say how old Andy is, or would he be furious?
No, he's 46 tomorrow.
What are you going to do?
Well, we're going to go wherever he wants to go for brunch.
Take him to see the Elvis movie.
And that's a good idea. Ask him. I'll let you know. Right. We'll ask him whatever he wants to do on his birthday.
Will you tell him I said happy birthday?
What do you want me to tell him?
I tell him I said happy birthday.
I will. He's sleeping right now.
Well, I mean, you don't have to tell him now. I mean, unless you want to.
All right. I won't.
All right.
Sonny, Rainbow, and I are sitting out here watching this thunderstorm. Happy birthday, Andy. Hope everyone has a great day. We'll monitor this. Happy birthday. I got to be quiet. And it's still a day away. His birthday's not till tomorrow. All right. Have a good morning, everyone. It is Friday, and here is Dr. Troy Burns of Pro Partners Healthcare.
Thanks, Gary. You know, most people are frustrated that they can never reach their doctor when they really need them. That never happens at Pro Partners. If you need easy, direct access to a doctor who knows you and is always available, give Pro Partners a call or check us out on the web at propartnershealthcare.com.
That's right. Happy birthday to Andy from the Border Patrol. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.